You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening to the show. This week, it is episode 99, and in tribute to the great one, Wayne Gretzky, I'm going to embrace my proud Canadian heritage, talk a little hockey. We are talking NHL Stanley Cup for the Super Nintendo, also known as Super Hockey in Europe, apparently. Which I like. I like that name. Just no NHL at all, just Super Hockey. Listen, this game sucks more than it should. And a lot of the people I knew when I was growing up had it. I had it. My buddy Brad is back on the show this week. We had a great time laughing about crappy old sports games, making fun of them, making fun of each other. Even if you're not super into NHL Stanley Cup, I think you might enjoy this episode. We'll see. So that's coming up in a few minutes. Before I get into that, a little bit of house cleaning. As you guys know, if you're not interested, look in the description box. It'll tell you what to skip to just hear us talk NHL Stanley Cup. This week is your last chance to enter to win our Nintendo Switch Lite. We are giving it away with episode 100 next week. And listen, I know I never enter these either. I listen to podcasts where they're doing giveaways or YouTube channels that are doing giveaways, and I never bother entering because I'm like, well, I'm never going to fucking win that anyway. But listen, it's free. It's really fast. It's really easy. I'm not going to keep your email. I'm not going to sell it to anybody. I'm not going to fuck with it. I don't know how to do. I'm not smart enough to hurt you with your email address. It's completely free, and you have a chance to win a fucking Switch Lite. I mean, come on. So if you want to enter for free, all you got to do, send an email to memberthegame@gmail.com. Email is in the description with your name and the answer to this Remember the Game trivia question. What is my favorite video game of all time? Here's a hint. It is the only game in the history of the show to get a perfect score, 10 out of 10. The deadline is June 8th. I will be filming the giveaway video on June 9th, and I will be announcing the winner on the podcast on June 10th while I post the video, probably at the same time. So you can enter completely for free if you want to do it like that. Deadline is June 8th. Please get in. We've got quite a few entries already, but it's free. Doesn't hurt you to enter. I'm not going to fuck with you, I promise. I just want to make sure somebody that deserves it and wants it wins this Switch. Conversely, if you want to enter without having to send me an email, you can support us over on Patreon. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. It is only $2 a month. You get automatically entered into the draw. You're going to get the ability to suggest games for and vote in our monthly game poll, because every month our Patreons pick one of the games we're going to cover. This month's poll is live until Monday, and the options are Final Fantasy for the NES, Contra 3 for the Super Nintendo, Tomb Raider for the PlayStation 1, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for everything, Sonic Spinball for the Sega Genesis, and Metal Gear Solid 3. One of those games is going to win the poll. It's pretty close right now between three of them, so if you want to get in on that, be able to suggest games, do all that stuff, you'll also get access to our weekly Patreon-exclusive show, Expansion Pass, that goes live every Sunday. This week's episode, I think I'm going to talk about save states. And the state of retro gaming in the modern era, is it cheating? Is it wrong to use stuff like that? And just, I don't know, just basic stuff like, I'm just going to blast. It's like a blog. It's like a 40-ish minute verbal blog from me. So that's what I'm going to touch on this week. We have over 25 episodes over there waiting for you. And you get a shout out on the show. All that for just $2 a month, which is like 50 cents a week. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. I would like to thank, we had a ton of new supporters in the last week or two, so a massive shout out to a bunch of our Patreon supporters. I've now started calling them the Remember the Game Industries Board of Directors, so massive thank you to our new supporters: Fraser Burns, Brian McKay, the Bevins Girls, the Matthews Kids, the Yuremcio, sorry if I said that wrong, Boys, Lane Orr, Andre, Andrew Castro, Andrew Halipchuk, Andrew Wright, the Andrew Twins, plus Andy Baker, who I assume Andy is short for an Andrew, but maybe not, Aiden Irvin, Ben Drinkin, Ben Bolyu, Bullfrog, Charlie M., Chris Fleury, Jin and Chris, Corey, and Dave. Thank you all so much for supporting the show, you guys. I really, really appreciate it. There's your Patreon plug. There's your giveaway plug. All that good stuff is done. And finally, we are running a listeners poll right now on our website. It's completely free. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to put in your name. You just go to rememberthegamepodcast.com and click the answers. It takes like 15 seconds. And I'm trying to shape the future of the show and make it better for you guys. I'm really interested in your feedback. I promise you don't have to enter anything. It's as quick and painless as it gets. Just do it while you're sitting on the toilet or something. I'm asking stuff like, do you guys want us to revisit some of the classics we burned in the early days before we knew what we were doing? Stuff like Super Mario World, Link to the Past, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy VII, GoldenEye, stuff like that. Do you guys want more conversational podcasts like Sega versus Nintendo? Do we want a Nintendo 64 classic? Things like that. Do you guys want PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 games to start being introduced into the show more often? Lots, just a very valuable feedback. If you could please take the time to do it, rememberthegamepodcast.com. You don't have to sign up for anything, I promise. It's quick and painless. There you go. There's all my plugs done. Thank you. Let's get into the news. Then we'll talk NHL Stanley Cup. To me, the biggest news this week is that Sony had announced that the PlayStation 5 reveal event was scheduled for June 4th and then canceled it based on what's going on in the world right now, which I wholeheartedly agree with. I agree with that decision. Excuse me. It's disappointing to gamers, obviously. But the world matters a lot more than a new gaming console does. I was obviously incredibly excited to see a PlayStation 5 reveal. I know a lot of you guys were as well. But let's put the world ahead of a new video game. The thing is, like, listen, I can sympathize a little bit with Microsoft and Sony. And I'm not trying to say, like, oh, these poor billion-dollar companies compared to the, you know, what's going on in the world today. But I can sympathize with them from a business perspective and from the sense of, like, instead of just being able to revealing the Series X and the PlayStation 5 and building hype and let's go and E3 and big events and blah, 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 blah. We all get excited for like 12 months. The world's on fire and they've sunk a lot of money and a lot of years of development into these systems. And it can't be easy trying to roll them out right now. They're really navigating a political minefield, for lack of a better. I'm not smart enough to say this intellectually, but you guys know what I'm trying to say. And it's really too bad that they can't just get on the same page and delay both of these systems to 2021, till next year. I think that makes the most sense by a mile. People will be back to work. Hopefully, we'll all be getting along and the world will be in a better place at that point. But if one of them does it and the other one doesn't do it, then the one that delays is completely fucked. And so, like, it's two juggernauts staring at each other, and they both know that this is not going well, but neither one can say, hey, listen, let's just wait. Like, they can't, you know what I mean? It's a tough spot, right? And delaying the info is the right call. It's that simple. Delaying that PS5 press conference is the right call. Focus on the real world issues right now before you worry about new video games, okay? We all get it. They'll come when they're ready. It's fine. You know what? Like, a lot of us get like little kids when a new system is coming out. And I don't mean just like us listeners, but like people in the video game universe, on Reddit, on social media, when you go on the message boards, on podcasts, everything. Like, everyone that's really passionate about video games, like a lot of us are, they get so excited for these new systems. And it doesn't matter how much information you get, you just want more, 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 right? You're just like, any little fucking tidbit of information that you can get. We still have the PS4, we still have an Xbox One, we still have Switches to play. There's still tons of games. There's still a bunch of great games coming out just in the next few months. So let's all just relax. Catch up on your backlog, stay safe, and just enjoy this generation swan song, because there's some great things coming up to finish the generation off, right? I know personally, just in the next few months, I plan on playing, or at least looking into playing, Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima, Cyberpunk 2077, Gears Tactics, Paper Mario, PGA 2K21, and the Tony Hawk remasters already. And that's just what I'm looking forward to playing over the next 3 to 4 months. Who knows what's going to be here between now and Christmas? So it's exciting times, okay? Just like fucking, I know we're all like in a hurry to get a hold of these new generation systems, but like, let's show them respect to the gen that's going on right now and just finish them off. And like I mentioned last week, if you haven't picked up one of the two systems, now's a great time to do it, because they're cheap. Games are going to be going on sale. Catch up, you know? It's fucking, so many games. Speaking of reveals, and the PS5 reveal on June 4th, and it all kind of ties together, a journalist in Japan who, respectfully, I'm not even going to attempt to say your name, sir, because I will fuck it up, has announced that there's a huge story involving Sega dropping on June 4th. He's dropping it. He's like breaking it, I guess. The general consensus online is this dude is incredibly credible. That sounded funny. A lot of the stories he's put out in the past have been legit. He doesn't seem to overhype his stories very often, people are saying, and he's really hyping the story up. Like, he's saying the story he's going to leak on the 4th is as big as the original PlayStation 5 reveal. And that's big news. And there's a ton of rumors floating around, right? Like, he's already said it's not the Dreamcast 2, which makes sense, because the last thing the fucking gaming world needs is another console right now. Ask Google Stadia how trying to compete right now is working for them. We don't need that. But the rumors that I've seen online include a Dreamcast Mini, maybe a Sega Saturn Mini, an online Sega subscription similar to Game Pass on Xbox, where you get all the Sega games and you can just play them all whenever you want. That could be on every system. There's rumors of a new Sonic game. The big rumor floating around is that Sega and Microsoft have teamed up, and Microsoft's putting Sega in charge of the distribution of the Xbox in Japan. And just for the record, I have no connections. I haven't talked to anybody. I am clueless as you guys. It's just what I've seen online, what I've read in articles, stuff like that. The problem with comparing it to the PlayStation 5 reveal is that that sets the bar very, very, very high. And frankly, a lot of those things wouldn't live up to it, right? Like, a Dreamcast Mini, a Sega Saturn Mini would be cool, but they wouldn't live up to that kind of hype. A new Sonic game would be whatever. A Sega online channel would be cool, but I don't think that lives up to that hype either. Like, to me, the only rumor I've seen that really lives up to the expectations is something about Xbox and Sega teaming up. I think it'd be cool, and it kind of makes sense, because if you didn't know, Microsoft and the Xbox have never been successful in Japan at all. They're practically non-existent over there, and Microsoft has got to be looking at the Japanese marketplace, gaming marketplace, and thinking, like, that is a massive piece of the gaming pie that we're not even touching right now. And what better way to get into it but with Sega, who still has a great reputation and a great foothold in the Japanese marketplace. So it kind of makes sense. Sega still spins a huge hammer over there. Microsoft needs to get in. I can't imagine Microsoft putting Sega in charge of distributing the Xbox over there. But I hope that they're doing something together, because I would love to see the two of them working together. You have to remember, too, that the story is also planned to leak on June 4th, which was originally when we were going to see PS5 news. So was it leaked to this reporter with the caveat, hey, drop it on June 4th to try to steal some thunder from whatever Sony's got going on? And now Sony's not doing their event anymore. So I don't know if we're still going to get the Sega story. I assume we probably are. I have no idea what it is. I have no idea. I'm a little skeptical of the fact that none of the big players here in North America, like GameSpot, IGN, Kotaku, have really been talking about it or picking it up. To me, if it was like that big of news, they'd be saying something, but maybe they just don't know what it is either, and they don't want to end up with egg on their face. Maybe that's all it is. I hope it's something big. I hope it lives up to the news, personally, I guess my first thought would be I'd like to see Xbox sign Sega as exclusive and put all the Sega games on Xbox and on Game Pass, because I love Xbox and Game Pass. But I wouldn't live up to the hype. I would love a Dreamcast Mini or a Sega Saturn Mini just to try it. I think that'd be a really rad thing. There's no way you hype up this is as big as the PlayStation 5 and then it's a Sega Saturn Mini. I can't imagine. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on June 4th. I'm excited. I hope you guys are paying attention. See what it is. We can all be excited for it together. And then the last piece of news I wanted to touch on before I get into what I've been playing is Minecraft. I listened to a few gaming podcasts. Oh yeah, by the way, I posted about it on Twitter the other day. I'm looking for a good Nintendo podcast, like a weekly news information podcast. Because for Xbox, I listen to Podcast Unlocked, which is IGN's Xbox podcast. I think it's very good, hosted by Ryan McCafferty. For PlayStation news, I usually listen to Sacred Symbols, which is Colin Moriarty over at Colin's Last Stands podcast. The guy knows what he's talking about. I've listened to him for a very long time. But for Nintendo, like, I've been listening to IGN's Nintendo Voice Chat podcast, and I used to really like it. When Jose Otero hosted it, it was great, but I really feel like the quality of the news and stuff has really fallen off, and it's more them just joking around now. And I know, as I say that, I'm rambling in a podcast that's supposed to be about an old video game, but you guys know what I'm trying to say. It's just like, So I'm curious. If you have a good idea, if you have a good Nintendo podcast you listen to, shoot it to me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Member the Game. Let me know. I've considered starting one, but I just, I don't know. This takes a lot of my time. And when comedy gets going again, we'll see. I don't know if it's something I could keep up with. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is I was listening to Sacred Symbols, Colin Moriarty's PlayStation podcast, and he mentioned that Minecraft recently topped 200 million copies sold. That's fucking insane. So I looked up the best-selling games ever just to get an idea of the context. You guys want to know what the three best-selling video games of all time is? Number one is Tetris, technically. It's got over 500 million copies sold. But you got to remember, Tetris has been around since like the 80s or 70s maybe. It's on everything. It's on mobile. Like, there's 100 million copies of the phone game alone have sold, right? It's been on every console. So it counts, and it's number one. But you got to remember, it's been everywhere. So after 500 million copies of Tetris, you know what the second best-selling video game of all time is? Minecraft. 200 million copies. Number three, to put it into perspective for you, is Grand Theft Auto 5 at 130 million copies. So Minecraft has sold 70 million copies more than Grand Theft Auto 5. And I know Minecraft is also on fucking everything now. I get it. You know, Grand Theft Auto 5 isn't on phones or iPads or the Switch. Totally understand that. And if it was, maybe it would make up those 70 million sales. I get it. But I'm not, that's beside the point. The point is, Minecraft is a fucking phenomenon, you guys. And I know not everybody likes it. I do. I think Minecraft is fantastic. But like, that's insane. I remember when Microsoft bought Mojang Studios, which is the company that created Minecraft, and they bought them for like $2.5 billion or something. And I remember thinking like, holy fuck, that's insane. $2.5 billion. It seems like a discount now when you think about how many copies of Minecraft they've sold, and then factor in now you've got Minecraft Dungeons. Eventually a Minecraft 2 is coming, I have no doubt. And then you throw in all of the different toys and t-shirts and merchandise and stuff. It's Minecraft is one of the biggest video games of all time. All time, whether you like it or not, the bottom line is it belongs on a list with the Marios and the Tetrises and the Zeldas and the Grand Theft Autos and just the all-time greats. Minecraft is right there with it. I could not believe 200 million copies of that game has sold. I've been jonesing to get back to it lately. I swore I would never play it again. I'm a recovering addict from the show, big MLB The Show and Minecraft. But like, it's on Game Pass, so it's sitting there on my Xbox just smiling at me, that little blocky head of his, and I'm like, it's just like the most calming game, and it's one of the games I can play when I'm stoned, and I can just relax and just build. It's just virtual Lego. It's so calming. I think if I was going to play it, though, again, I would get it on Switch as opposed to playing it on my Xbox. It's just, it to me, Vita is where I really fell in love with Minecraft. It's perfect on a handheld device where you can play it while you're watching TV or something. So Minecraft is the shit. Congratulations, 200 million copies. That's insane. Anyway, that's enough of the news. What have I been playing? Then we'll get into NHL Stanley Cup. I've not been playing that much. A little bit less this last week. It's been beautiful, the weather here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So I've been going for a lot of bike rides. I've been sitting outside on my deck reading and drinking beer. And just, it's been nice. Like, I don't know if people that live somewhere where it's nice all year appreciate weather like this as much as people that live in northern Canada where we suffer through minus 40 for a few months. And whether you go by Celsius or Fahrenheit with your temperature, minus 40 is minus 40, and it fucking sucks. So like when it's plus 20, plus 30 outside, we're going fucking outside. I don't know how hot that is in Fahrenheit. I think that's like 90s, but it's been perfect. So anyway, but I have been playing a little bit. I fired up Yakuza 0 on my Xbox with Game Pass. I like it. I can't decide how much I like it. It's very story-driven. If you don't know, the Yakuza, I hope I'm saying that right, is like the Japanese mafia. So it's almost like GTA in a little bit of a way, but not so much driving, just open world, running around, being a mafia guy, beating people up. I adore Japan as much as I love Canada. Like, I adore Japan, everything about it. And I also really enjoy mafia stuff, so like it should be right up my alley. I'm just not quite sure about it yet. The combat's pretty shitty. I'm not sure yet, but I'm going to keep playing with it for now. I also really struggle with open world games. Like, I mean, I've never played most of the Grand Theft Autos. I've never played a Red Dead. I get overwhelmed, and I'm trying to get better with that. I don't have to do everything, just play the game. But I don't know if anyone else struggles with open worldness like I do in a video game. I like my linearity. Just tell me where to go. I don't need to be a free thinker. Just fucking tell me how to get there. I've also been playing Streets of Rage 4 still. I love that game so much. I reviewed it on Expansion Pass last week, the podcast. It's great fun. I really like it. I've been plugging away at Medieval on my PlayStation a little bit. It was the runner up in last month's Patreon poll, and I was really interested in it, so I decided to start it. It's okay. I got to put some more time into it. And then I've been playing Mega Man X because I've been recording another episode of my Let's Play series. So I've been playing Mega Man X on my Super Nintendo Classic. I fucking love that game. And that's good enough. That's what I've been playing and reading and thinking about outside and the PlayStation 5 and everything else. Let's get into NHL Stanley Cup, episode 99 of Remember the Game. I know sports games aren't everybody's cup of tea on this show, but really few games are everybody's cup of tea. I try to play to all genres. I've done a lot of RPGs. I try to do the sports games when I can. I'm trying to give everybody a little bit of everything. And here's the thing. This was a really shitty alternative to the early EA NHL games like NHL 94, 95, blah, blah, blah. But everyone I know owned it. We all liked it now, or liked it then, but we all know it sucks now. If you've ever been in a retro gaming store, you've seen NHL Stanley Cup. It's sitting in the discount bin for like 10 cents. But I think we made this episode really entertaining. One of my best friends, Brad Warren, is back on the show this week. We made fun of each other. We made fun of the game. It's fucking hilarious. I think there's only one song in this. I haven't actually looked up the music for the podcast yet, but I think there's only one song. So I'm going to cue some music. It's probably the same music from the beginning of the show. And Brad and I are going to talk NHL Stanley Cup, which originally released in North America on the Super Nintendo in November of 1993. Kick back, relax, wash your hands, clean your controllers, look out for giant hornets, fucking be nice to each other. And let's talk NHL Stanley Cup. Here we go.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. joining me via the telephone device. Once again, this is going to be the new norm for the show, I think. Partially because of the way society is right now. Partially because I just don't want any of you guys in my fucking house. Is longtime buddy of mine and returning to the show, Mr. Brad Warren. How's it going, buddy?
Good, man. Just living in the COVID bunker and yeah. Living life and just ready to discuss this so-called hockey game, but we'll get into that.
So here's what, I was about to say this to you before I hit record on the thing, and I was like, no, what, I'm going to save it for the show. When you and I started talking about covering NHL Stanley Cup, I was like, duh, this game fucking sucks, and we're going to come on here and be like, what a shitty game, and we're going to laugh at it. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's good, because it's not good. But like, listen, dude, I was watching some YouTube about it and stuff this morning, just kind of refreshing in my mind. I don't hate this game. I'm not saying it's good.
All right, here we go.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying that at all. But I have so many memories of playing this game. Like, I'll so many.
I went into the same thing as you did in the sense of going, I remember this piece of shit game, but partially, I will not agree with you that it's good. There's just so much here that I don't want to say it was ahead of its time, but it had some stuff. Okay.
That's the thing, is like, I do feel like it is a little ahead of its time. So just like,
yeah, it's got some ideas there, and it's got some things that when you go through the game modes and stuff, you're like, oh, that they didn't have that in the other game.
No. Okay. And you got to remember, so this game came out in 93. So yeah. Like, if I'm not mistaken, it came out prior to NHL 94. Cause I feel like NHL 90, like, everybody loved one of Ice Hockey or Blades of Steel. Everybody likes one of them. If you like both, like me, that's rad. But everybody likes at least one of them. Right. And then hockey kind of, when it transitioned into the 16-bit, I'm just looking up the release date of NHL 94 to see. NHL 94 was the golden standard. Like, that was the one. Okay, so right. NHL 94 came out October 93. And Stanley Cup came out in November of 93. So it came out right after NHL 94. And if you compare those two, then yes, NHL Stanley Cup fucking sucks. It sucks.
Well, and you know what? I when I was looking this up, they actually released 4 hockey games that year, including Brett Hall Hockey, which
I owned that game.
Oh, God.
It sucked. It sucked.
Okay, where did your parents buy games?
Okay, I was thinking about this today because, like, I don't think I knew anybody. I think my friend Joe had one of the NHL games for his Sega Genesis. But every other person that I hung out with, nobody owned one of the, like, the EA NHL games. Anyone that owned hockey had NHL Stanley Cup, myself
Jesus
included.
Christ. Where did you grow up?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, were all my, like, was this game cheap? And maybe me and my parents and my yeah. families were all poor or cheap or something? Because, like,
well, I think you're, well, what I was going to say, your fucking dad probably bought you this out of NHL 94 just because you're a Habs fan. He's
maybe.
Like, fuck you.
You know what?
You
they might
have piece of shit.
Well, no, but Patrick Waugh's on the cover.
Yes.
So maybe they thought that. Like, maybe.
See, that's the thing is, certain parents, my parents were this way, my brother is this way. It's a Warren man thing. We'll hear things and go, yeah, I'll get it. Like, you know, can you pick up a loaf of bread and milk and you come home with bread?
Right.
Or you come home with, like, the wrong thing. And my dad used to do it all the time. And maybe your parents were like mine in the sense that, like, hey, can you get me that new hockey game? And your dad just went, yep, and just saw it, and there it is. Yeah. That's the one he wants? Fuck him.
Man, maybe that's what it is. As I'll tell you, dude, I honestly didn't even know NHL 94, 95, until I think NHL 96 was the first one that I rented with any regularity. And before that, I didn't even know those games existed. Like, I just...
Well, where were you? And how many friends did you have? 2?
Not many. Yeah, not many. But, like...
Well, clearly.
But NHL Stanley Cup, and that was the one my mom and dad got me. And again, now listen. I just want to say for the record, I'm comparing NHL Stanley Cup to Blades of Steel and ice hockey. And when you
well,
played,
that's not fair. That's
No. I'm saying when I was a kid, like when I played it, because like the only other games
right.
I had
okay.
played
okay.
were Stanley okay. Cup and I were Blades of Steel and Ice Hockey. And Blades of right. Steel and Ice Hockey didn't have season modes or battery saves or anything. They didn't even have all the teams.
See, now we're getting into it. Those are the things I'm talking about in the sense of ahead of its time.
Absolutely.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You could save? Because, again, you and I discussed this. We both talked about how back in the day, I used to have, like, I've got a duotang in front of me right now that I was making notes in. I can't believe I found one of these in my house. But I was sitting here making notes, but you and I discussed how back in the day I used to write down players' names because number 39 in the game would be Doug Wade.
Yeah.
You would just, and I would keep stats of all my season because there was no season mode and there was no stats. So I used to put it on paper. And like, and I don't know why, because it's not like I'm reviewing it.
But I wrote them down too, though. And I would erase my stats every game and like update them and stuff. And I wrote down all the players' names.
Exactly.
But here's the thing is like, when I look at NHL 94, NHL 94 has the players' names and stuff like that. They had clearly, they had to deal with the NHLPA. Whereas,
how do you get the team, but not the players?
Okay, so I read about that. An NHL Stanley Cup had a licensing deal with the National Hockey League, but not with the National Hockey League Players Association. I assume
that's not important to them?
I guess not. Okay, so I assume that they didn't have the bankroll that EA did to shell out for both licenses. And so when you play NHL Stanley Cup, again, when you compare to those NES games, I was like, wow, it's got all of the official logos like and stuff like that. But then you turn it on, and it has just player numbers. It doesn't have any of the logos on the jerseys. It only has the logos like when you pick your team or like for the scoreboard. But the players' jerseys are completely blank, both front and back. No numbers, no player logos, no team logos, just the colors. You couldn't trade players. You couldn't edit your lines.
Yeah. Now we're getting into it.
And I went and I thought it was so cool. And that's why I started renting NHL 96 all the time, because I was like, wait a minute, I can trade players in this one? And it knows the players' names? Like, what? I learned so many hockey players' names from playing NHL Stanley Cup, because I would look up like, oh, who is number 74 for the Florida Panthers, right? And I'd
you would go get the newspaper? Or
no, I had those. Remember the old NHL guidebooks?
Oh, yeah.
I used to get those, and then I'd flip through and look for all the different players' names and stuff like that.
You're probably right when it comes to the NHLPA, because Even not to get off topic, but the new NHL game, we my brother and I play online against a couple guys, and we do all-star teams and like, or all-time teams. And we're like, oh shit, we'll be the Habs and we'll play the Oilers, whatever. And, like, if you ever get a chance to, the rosters have like seven good players, and then it just goes down the shitter.
Yeah,
because
right.
You have to individually sign a contract. We looked into that. So it's interesting that way. But, so clearly, money was more than likely an issue. And back then, they probably didn't really, they probably just blanketed it in the sense of going to the NHLPA and saying, hey, can we use you guys in the game? Sure. And then they got a big sum of money and then maybe spread it out. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know how it works. But like, so they didn't have both. But like, so like, we, you know what?
You we'll do this in season mode. You had a season mode.
That's it.
Really good.
Dude, so that's what I was going to say, because like the tradition dictates on this show that we do the good stuff, then we shit on it. And so like, as far as the good stuff goes, I'm telling you, I had never played a game that had a season mode like this before. And I thought that was so rad. It had 84 games, and you play, because that was back when the seasons had 84 games, and you played against every team, and you could see all the standings, and you could see all of the players' stats on your team. Didn't have their names. It just had their goals, assists, their shots on goal,
which
and their penalty
bad,
minutes.
Because the first NHL games, EA didn't always have the names.
Nope.
Pretty
no,
positive.
It didn't.
The first one did.
And
two, maybe.
No, I don't think it did either. And I thought that was so rad. Like, I really enjoyed that, because I had my favorite player, just like everybody did, right? Like, playing with the Habs from those days. Like, I had Vinny was my guy, Vinny Damfus.
Oh,
and so it was like, fuck you. He's great. And so it was like,
an Oiler. That's still heartbreaking.
And so it was like, get the puck to 25, like always get the puck to 25. And I remember playing with my friends, and one of the rules we had was you couldn't pick Pittsburgh and you couldn't pick LA, because Gretzky and Lemieux were so JR from NHL 94, like fucking just over to the max. And the thing about it was like, so that was really cool. And then you would get into the playoffs, because it gave you the exhibition mode, which sucked, season mode, or the best, you could just play a best of seven. Which was also really fun. I remember my friend Sean and I playing so many best of sevens against each other, because it was like playing for the Stanley Cup.
It's not a bad mode. If you're sitting with buddies and stuff, it's okay.
No, absolutely. So I really like that. I like the fact that it keeps track of your season stats and things like that. This is kind of a double-edged sword. I don't think the graphics at a glance are awful.
Okay, well, you just buried yourself.
No, no, the more you stare at it, the worse the graphics get. Okay?
I get it. Yeah.
But I get what they were trying to do. There was like, this isn't NHL 94 with these little 16-bit digital eyes. You know what I mean? Like, they went big. They did. They were like, here's big players. And you see all the details of their socks, their helmets, their gloves. You know what I mean? It was just like, so I was like, okay, well, that's kind of cool. And then it used that graphics. I don't remember the name. I want to say Mode 7 was the name of the graphics chip.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And it was like, I remember playing, did you ever play NCAA basketball?
Yeah. That was actually one of the things that I saw too, is I remember playing that game. It was very similar to this, where it was like, you're playing and it's just very different. Same concept.
Yeah.
Same camera, everything like that. Very, we'll get into gameplay in a minute.
Yeah. Cause I'm pretty confident that the Mode 7 thing is the same thing they used for like Mario Kart and F-Zero. And stuff was like, wow. And then this was like, before the gameplay starts, like when the camera does the thing where it like zooms into the opening face off. And it comes beside, you're like, all right, this looks pretty rad. Like, I can get behind this.
You're right. I watched, there was an hour video, and I got about, I got about 8 minutes in, and I said, okay.
Yeah.
Because the more you go, the more you see.
That's it. Okay.
This is where we get into it.
And this is where it starts to get bad. So, because that camera zooms in, and and quickly, because I don't want to forget to call this out. I will forget. One thing that this game did ahead of its time is they put goddamn referees in the game that refused to drop the puck for a face-off.
Yeah.
Just like in today's NHL, where God forbid you just drop the puck, it's got to be 25 seconds of fucking yelling at every player not to move.
The ref being his fucking, he's got to be involved. Ugh.
If you hit the button to win the face-off before he dropped the puck, he would just do the fake drop and like fake. And you're between you and your friend, you're both sitting there like, hey, dude, don't touch anything. But neither of you wants to be the one to lose the face-off. Fuck me. Just drop the fucking puck, man. But then once he would drop the puck, whatever team won the puck, the camera would spin around behind that team's player. And that's where shit started to get bad.
Yeah. So the thing that I would love to play this game again, because what my question to you is, you played this more than I did, because a buddy of mine, we played real games, like we could afford. Yeah, we had NHL 94.
We didn't have Brad Warren money.
Yeah. So my key thing is this to you. My question to you is, if you don't have the puck and you're the second guy playing, how does it work? I don't remember the camera. Like the guy coming, like if you're the second player and you don't win the draw and the camera spins to the guy with the puck, where's the other guy?
I'm 90% sure it was split screen.
So top bottom, right?
Yeah, top bottom. Yeah, I'm 90% sure it was split screen.
And again, like that just sounds like I'm going to look it up because I need to know how.
Yeah, I was looking it up right now because I wanted to double check that. I want to see because we played a ton of it, and the two options would be split screen or the player without the puck disappears. Because like NHL 94, for example, wasn't split screen. But the ice was so big, you could see half of the rink at any given time.
Yeah. The overhead just worked. It just worked so well. But I like watching this game, and I remember playing it where you're like you said, you're like, wow, the puck gets dropped and the camera moves. And you start playing and you really start to look at it and you're like, wow. Oh.
Because the thing is like, the puck switches, like the puck switches hands, obviously. I can't find a two-player clip. I can't remember, but I want to say it was split screen. I'm 90% sure it was.
Because there's no other way to play.
Well.
You can't.
You know what, dude? Actually, no, wait. I'm looking right now, and I don't think it is split screen. I think what happens is, like, whoever has the puck, the camera spins around behind him, and then you can obviously see your guy with the puck. And then whoever you're controlling, if you're on the defensive team, whoever you're controlling, there's a big arrow. That's what it was. They have a big arrow over them, and if you're off screen, then the big arrow is just pointing at which way you were off screen. And then all you could do was try to skate back into the view of the fucking guy that had the puck. So if you and I are I'm sorry I'm going on a rant, but it's so fucking stupid. If you and I were playing and I stole the puck from you and took off, the camera spins around, it's behind me, and all that's in front of me is your two defensemen and your goalie, and you're controlling your left winger, all there is a giant arrow pointing at the left side of the screen telling you, hey, your guy is back there somewhere, but oh wait, he skates just as fast as I do, so he's probably not going to fucking catch up to me. Like,
no, it's horrible. It's
fucking terrible.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
And then as the puck switches control, like from one team to the other, that camera is like a merry-go-round. Just spin and spin and spin. What the fuck?
I don't know how you didn't get sick.
I don't know either. Dude, like I'm watching a clip of it right now.
And the graphics and like how shit they were back then. And you're playing on a tube TV, so it's really bright. And shit's just coming at you. And I got to say, like, it just only gets worse.
Brutal.
The rotating camera, I think they were just like, you know what? We got good results out of this basketball game. It's a gamble for hockey, but it could work. And no, it doesn't.
The ball doesn't get turned over in basketball like it does in hockey.
So I have to admit something to you watching highlights of this game. Because the main thing that I remember is skating around and the camera fucking moving.
Yeah.
But I was like, there's no crowd. There's no crowd. It's just black and it's crap. You see like the scoreboard and everything.
Yeah.
But when you look at, I just realized today that there is crowd. It's above where the scoreboard is.
Yeah. So the top half of the screen, that's the other thing is like, I have to assume, cause like I'm thinking
none
about
it. Makes sense.
No, I'm thinking about it now. Like F-Zero filled the screen, but like Super Mario Kart, unless you're playing two player, the top half of the screen was just the map. And like in this one, the top half of the screen is just the scoreboard with the crowd behind it. But you're right. Down below, the players are playing on like a surface of ice with no boards and no audience. No. It's just darkness all the way around them. And
the physics is not like, I know it's 1993.
Right.
But I know we're not comparing NHL 94 to this, but holy shit. None of it makes sense.
No, I mean, I have to assume that the blackness part of it is just so that the game doesn't have to worry about loading up a crowd at all times while it's spinning around.
Right.
And the other part is so that it's easier to see your players and stuff like that.
Well,
but it's
loading,
just ugly.
One of the greatest things that I read about this game is one is that if there was a penalty and a guy went off the ice, do you remember this? Because people online talking about this game. I don't remember this, but the game would get faster with less people on the ice.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Because it was less stress on the engine of the actual game.
And that,
like, I don't get, like, in 1993-94, again, we've discussed this, there was no internet, there was no reviews of games.
No.
There was no thought process. You went to the store and you bought it.
Yeah.
He said, I like the cover of that game. I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Until GamePro came out, we knew nothing. We knew nothing. You went in blind. You bought the game. You took it home. You played it. And if it fucking sucked, it sat and collected dust.
That's it.
You
and that's, Dude, when you look at the cover,
you couldn't do shit.
No, and when you look at the cover to this, like the cover is rad because it's Patrick Waugh in net with his Habs like logo and everything, and the guy shooting on him is clearly Wayne Gretzky in his LA gear because that had been the Cup final that year was the Habs and the Kings. Like the cover looks rad.
It has it. Yeah, but the box is good.
The box is great. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like you.
But that okay? So like, I want to. This is where I was saying, like, part of it I don't think is, like, the part that I think is not all bad about the graphics is, like, because you're right. I remember that. You put a player in the box, and then the player would show up in the box on your score, like, on your side of the scoreboard, and there would be a little clock counting it down. And I liked that part.
That's a camera. Essentially, that's a camera facing the penalty box.
Yeah, which I don't hate, because you can see the guy in the box, you can see the timer clear as day as to when he's going to get out, and then when he would hit zero, he would get out, and, like, you'd show him getting out. But, like, they do have, when you count the two goalies, they do have 12 pretty big and colorful players moving around at once. And they really did do an okay job of trying to get the skating animations and stuff down. Like, they don't just, their feet aren't just not moving and they're just sliding around. Like, they do look like they're skating and stick handling and stuff.
But take that one back. You do not say stick handle.
Look up a clip right now. I'll bet you a donut. When a guy is skating, it's tut 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 tut. Like just the classic back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like you can't make him do anything special.
That's a sound effect.
No, it's not. I'm bringing it up right now. I'm fucking telling you, when a guy is skating, he doesn't just hold the... Yeah, like
you want that one, you got it. Yeah, you can have it for Stanley Cup. You want to talk about the tap tap tap? The music and the sound in this game is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, it's too. I honestly don't know what I know. There's like that initial, like the song that plays during the intro, and I don't know what I'm going to play for the other two songs on this episode. Well, because there's not really any other music.
I will say this. During the game, there is an organ playing, and it's not bad.
Wow.
So let's see if you can pull that. But, yeah, no, the opening music is just atrocious.
It is, yeah. And, like, the thing is...
It sounded like just a guy had a keyboard, and he's just smashing keys.
Yeah, and I don't want to, like... I don't want to just compare this game to NHL 94, because they're two different games. But NHL 94 had the Brass Bonanza, and all these, like, great songs, and fucking... NHL Stanley Cup had like that bum 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 bum, the terrible song it played over and over. Go ahead.
No, but the gameplay noise is like it just dies.
Oh, it's terrible.
There's a swishing noise.
Yeah,
and then you just see the like. I know they don't. You know, it's more today about collision detection of like people around you. But when players would hit each other, what the fuck is going on? And then sticks would just smash, and then a guy would just skate away.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, dude. I guess he won.
So, because I remember, like, there was three, you could poke check, where you would lift the other guy's stick. You could hip check, where you would just bend over, and, like, it never hit. Or you could throw, like, the giant, both elbows fucking right up at the guy's face, body check. And if you did it too much, then that's when you would start taking penalties.
Right.
And playing defense was so bad. Oh, yeah, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but once you had two penalties, they wouldn't call any more penalties on you because the game couldn't handle it, I guess. Because, like, for anyone, I guess if you don't know, if you're a casual hockey fan, you can get more than two penalties at a time, but you'll always have three players on the ice. So if you've got four guys in the box, then when the first two penalties expire, you still only have three guys on the ice because you got to wait. You know what I hope that makes sense. But in this game, when two guys were in the box, you couldn't get any more penalties. And I remember...
So you could just hammer guys.
You fucking right. That was the penalty kill, was you just hammered the body check, which I actually enjoyed.
78 hockey, please.
Yeah, and I actually enjoyed that part because that made it a little bit more arcadey.
In the end, that's what they should have just done.
They should have just leaned into the arcade thing.
So. Well, especially when you knew NHL 90, like NHL PA 93 or NHL 93, whichever one it's called, it just dominated.
Yeah.
So it's like if you were going to compete, I think there's a game. There is a game here. There's aspect.
Yeah.
It's just once you got into the gameplay, the longevity of it, I think you even said, you're like, how hard was it to try and finish the season? Because it was just like, fuck, this game is, it's just not playable.
No, it's
playable. It's playable, but
it gets
boring. Solo, like single player mode? Fuck no.
No, it gets boring. To me, that was part of like, I mean, we were saying how Ice Hockey and Blades of Steel didn't have big season modes, but I think they would have gotten old with big season modes anyway. When you can't trade, you can't edit your lines, you can't sign free agents.
You have nothing. You don't have anything in those.
Then it gets old.
What you had was two controllers and you and a buddy just beating the shit out of each other.
And
those games were fun.
And dude, this game, it was so fucking hard to score in this fucking game.
Unless you did one thing. I was going to ask you about it. I don't remember shooting.
Okay, well, you could
highlights and
you could take the big slappers.
Yeah, it's the animation it's lost on me what they were trying to do. Like you get near a goalie and you hit shoot and it's like the puck just disappears and you hear, ooh.
Yeah. Well, that was
the goal. And it's like, well, what's
you can take those giant slap shots or the wrist shots, but like the goalie animation hardly ever moved. Sometimes he'd go down on his knees, I think. But like the goalies never raised his gloves, never moved. He just would hit him and then he'd shuffle over and then do whatever with it. And like it was so, unless you were coming straight down the ice where you could pick a corner and try to shoot it into a corner that way. Or the goalie was completely out, because like one timers and stuff didn't exist. So unless the goalie was completely out of place, it was so hard. Like we had so many games where it was like 0-0 or 1-0.
You were probably sweating as a kid because you're just hammering buttons and you're sitting there. It looks like one of those games where you're working really, really hard and nothing happens.
It was the worst. If somebody scored on you, you were like, fuck me, because you were like, there's a pretty good chance I'm not going to get one back.
game's over.
And then, and we'll get into the glitch goal in a minute, because I know anyone that ever played this game knows about the glitch goal. But like, do you remember that between periods and then after games and stuff, it would always cut to that fat reporter?
Yeah.
And he would just say the stupidest shit. He'd be like, that was a lackluster period between the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers. And then he would be like, the Montreal Canadiens goalie stopped 23 shots or made 23 saves on 23 shots. But what it would do is it would say 23 save and then like the bracket S bracket, like in case it went plural. But it said it like in the guy's report. And he always said the same couple of things. And I watched a YouTube video where a dude won the cup as the Rangers. And he won the final game 2-1. And then they go to the reporter after he won the cup. And he's like, it was a quiet night here in the National Hockey League. And it's like, the Rangers just won the cup. What are you talking about? Like, why is this scene? Like, I think it's great when games, any sports game puts like the news, the reporters. I love that concept.
Remember when that first got put in? It was like, wow, it's like TV.
Yeah.
But it's
so shitty. Like,
oh yeah.
You know what that is? That's because I hate commentary in sporting games to today. Like right up to today. I usually turn the commentary off on my games. Yeah. That was Super Nintendo commentary.
Yeah.
It was so awful.
That's exactly it. You just sit there and you read text.
Oh, so awful. And he'd be like, here's the Montreal Canadiens first period stats. And then it would just go to that standard stats screen with the goals, assists, shots on goal, penalty minutes. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. And I counted them up because I was thinking about it. You only have 9 forwards and 6 defensemen per team. So you only have 3 lines and then 2 power play lines, 2 penalty kill lines, which you can't change. But like, so everyone that was a fourth liner got cut. But I guess the PA can't complain because they didn't sign off on the game, so they weren't getting paid for it anyway.
No, they just said no. Because they probably, again, it was too many numbers to put in the game. They weren't
too
even
many
putting
numbers.
In names.
It's just text.
Too many numbers.
It's just
like, no,
text.
We can't.
Fuck
we can't.
Me. Just ridiculous. And
well,
then.
Yeah, but there's no benches. There's nothing.
No, there's nothing. You can't see
darkness,
the other players.
So I don't get why. It's another one of these games where I think in the end, you know what? This would be a great 30 for 30 show.
Yeah,
in the sense where they find these guys where they do like the ET game, like the big games where, and then you throw in like a Stanley Cup where, yeah, we did it for a year and the guy goes, we were on a lot of blow and we fucking ran out of time.
Yeah.
So that's, we just like, you know what I mean? Like that'd be a great, great TV show.
I wish this game had gotten a sequel because I feel like there was enough like good here that if they had another year and some more money, maybe.
Well, here's the thing is like, I like I said to you, it's probably in a future podcast, but I don't remember a lot of them. There was like seven NHL games by the time 96, 97 came out.
Yeah, there was like a lot.
When we Breakaway, there's Blades of Steel 99. I don't remember that.
Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. Brett Hull hockey 95. You know what's funny, dude? I had NHL Stanley Cup, Brett Hull hockey 95, Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. I didn't own a good hockey game until I bought my own with my PlayStation, and I bought like NHL 99 or something.
PlayStation?
Yeah.
You missed it. Like, wow, your childhood kind of
I used to rent, like, again, NHL 96, 97. I'd rent them over and over again, but I never owned any.
So you
of
would
them.
Rent them, but you wouldn't buy them? You wouldn't tell your folks to get you it?
No, you know, oh no, we didn't all have that kind of Brad Ward money where we could just go to our parents and be like, please buy me a game.
Man.
And the thing is when I did want a new game, like for Christmas, I'd cash it in on like a Mario game or something. I'd fucking make it count. Not hockey. I'd go outside. That's what I fucking did. I wouldn't like you. I went outside.
There's the ace in the hole that everybody always plays. I played video games as a kid. Oh, yeah. I went
outside and played street hockey, you fucking loser.
You fucking douche.
So, okay, we're right out of time. There's one more thing I really want to cover on this shitty game. If you've never played it, you probably skipped this episode. But if you're a loyalist who listens to every episode, whether you've played the game or not, first of all, thank you. You're awesome. There was a glitch in this game where you could, so like, I want to say, I don't remember the exact controls, but you had the four buttons. One passed, one took a wrist shot, one took a slap shot, and one dumped the puck. I think it was X. And there was a glitch where if you would come straight on at the other team's net and right around the blue line hit the dump, it would go straight up in the air and drop in over the goalie's head under the crossbar every time. Every time. The goalie couldn't stop it. It was impossible.
I'm just going to say this right now. This ended friendships.
Oh, it totally did. My friends and
I'm not saying many, but there are cases where if you talk to somebody, and if you pulled people who played this game, it started minimum fights.
Oh, like totally,
punching,
yeah.
Like guys beat the shit out of each other.
My friend Sean and I
busted.
My buddy Sean and I played this. It was garbage. It was garbage.
But here's the thing, too. And again, how did we figure that out?
I have no idea. Like,
it's
I have
no
idea.
One of those things where you heard something from somebody saying, oh, yeah, there's a cheap goal in that.
Yeah.
We had no internet. We had no magazines. It just was something that somebody did one day, and they're like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. It's even on.
Because you're not dumping it out in this game. You're not playing. Like,
the only time you would use that dump.
It's not a hockey game now where you're dumping it out going, oh, man, the pressure's on.
No.
You're not doing that.
No, the only time you use the dump button in this game, other than to score that shitty goal, was maybe penalty killing. Maybe. Maybe.
Did it even register for that?
Well, yeah, because it would go way up in the air. It was like the Dwayne Robertson. I bet you that play from Mighty Ducks 2 with Dwayne Robertson is based on the NHL Stanley Cup.
No,
it's like, but it's the perfect teamwork play, and it's just straight up in the air and down. My buddy Sean and I played this game against each other so much, and our one rule it was rule right off the get, no dump shot. Like that was just because it was like that's just garbage. And if one of us did it, we would totally. But then every time one of us did it, the other one was allowed one back to fucking even it up. It was ridiculous. Like you'd be better off just playing with the goalies pulled. Than fucking doing that stupid. And listen, like, obviously NHL 94 is the better game. Those NHL games, fucking, when you were going to the bottom net, down the wing, let her go from the boards at the top of the circle. Every hockey game has it. Okay? Like, the hardest thing in all of sporting video games might be creating a competent, fair goalie. Like, that might be.
They still can't get it right.
They still can't. It's got to be a hard thing to do. But this game, it was like, you would get so fucking angry because you'd take 50 shots. None of them would go in. You'd hit a dozen posts. I had so many fucking posts in this game. You'd hit like 40. Yeah. Like you'd hit 30 posts on 50 shots with zero goals. And then finally you'd be like, fine, and fucking just chip it over. Or like you're playing it by yourself on your season mode. And you're like, no dump goals. I want to play it fair and square. But then you're really close to losing a game to a team you hate. You're like, well, all right. And you'd resort to like one dump goal. I need one. But
yeah,
I don't understand how they didn't catch that and test it.
let me tie it, and then we'll go from there.
Everybody knew about it. I'm on their Wikipedia page, and the last paragraph of one of the chapters, the player on offense could exploit a tactic of dumping the puck over the goalie's head, thereby creating an indefensible shot. So everybody fucking knew about it. I don't understand. I mean, you couldn't patch games back in 1993 to fix this, so I don't understand how it got through playtesting, where they were just, they were maybe just like, ah, nobody will notice. It was just like on WCW NWO Revenge. If you flick the joystick, you kicked out every time.
Yeah.
And so the rule was you couldn't do it, but then you'd, every time you'd pin one of your buddies, you'd fucking watch his hand to make sure he didn't touch that fucking joystick.
Yeah, and then he's like, no, I fucking hit the button. Yeah. No, you didn't, you lying. I just beat the shit out of you and hit two finishers.
There's a kid there's a kid right now listening to this game that listening to this episode that constantly exploited the dump goal, that flicked the joystick to kick out of wrestling pins, and that always picked odd job in GoldenEye. And that kid's a fucking loser.
And he loves AEW wrestling.
Okay, no, don't be that guy.
Well, I'm just throwing that out there. that's their people.
This game is dead. This game is. Everyone that's ever been into a retro video game store has seen this game sitting in that 50 cent bin that nobody ever buys. But everyone I knew owned this game as a kid. I bet you this game sold a lot of copies.
I think it did well because I think everybody played it. I didn't own it because I
because you were rich.
Yeah, rich. I had a Genesis for one, so that's the key there.
Well, that explains a lot.
Well, we've discussed that before, but no. In the end, there is positives, but the negatives outweigh it.
You know what? I would like to know if NHL 90, say the NHL series had never existed. NHL 94, NHL 95, NHL 93, none of those games existed. I want to know if people would hate this, if this game would be as shitty, remembered as shittily as it is.
Well, we don't know Brett Hull hockey.
I do. I own Brett Hull hockey, and I promise this game is way better than Brett Hull hockey. Way better. Brett Hull hockey fucking sucked, but they were both shit. That's at the end of the day. They were both garbage. Dude, when you and I started talking about covering NHL Stanley Cup, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this weird game that chances are most people didn't play. But then at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I played it and I have good memories and bad memories of it. And you know what? Now that we've talked about it, it never has to be mentioned on the show again. It probably won't ever be mentioned on the show again.
No, it's not one of those games where I would say it's an abomination to the sport of hockey. It's not that bad.
No, it's not. But
it's just not. It's not fucking good.
No, and you know what works against it is so many retro sport games are beloved all these years later. People still like ice hockey. They still like Blades of Steel. NHL 94, there's still tournaments. There's an active competitive scene with NHL 94. People still love Tecmo Bowl. People still play Ken Griffey Jr. Major League Baseball. So many classic sports. NBA Jam, obviously. There's so many classic sports games that people still know and love that the bad ones really get exposed because it's we have good ones that still play well today. Do you know what I mean? And NHL Stanley Cup. Absolutely,
which
is
crazy.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of people that would prefer to play NHL 94 to NHL 20, the current NHL game. You know what I mean?
100%.
Whereas NHL Stanley Cup, that's where I think that is one of the reasons it takes so much shit and people look down on it is because it's just so many games from that era aged perfectly. This one is I can't even imagine trying to play this today. With that fucking camera, I don't think I could.
No, I doubt we would get through more than one game.
No, it'd be so bad.
I just think it would, it's too, I get what they were trying to do, what they wanted to do. They wanted to be different. They had an engine that they thought they could transfer over. It was a big gamble, and again, they lost.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to go simulation, and it just didn't work. That's the problem.
100%.
But it also has the Florida Panthers and the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and that's fucking rad, because I love that Mighty Ducks logo so much.
You got the logos. You got the players' numbers. They played like the players they were supposed to be. It's not that bad. That part of it is not that bad. But again, you don't have jerseys. You don't have the numbers on the back. You don't have a lot. But yeah.
I'm looking at a still of NHL Stanley Cup versus a still of NHL 94. And I'm just like, dude, one of these just looks more fun than the other one. Forget all the little details. NHL 94 just looks fun. NHL Stanley Cup just... Ah, fuck.
Anyway. You're like, what? what the fuck happened there?
This shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's finish this thing. So it's NHL Stanley Cup. It released in 1993. So on a scale of 1 to 93, what would you score NHL Stanley Cup?
Out of 93?
Out of 93.
Shit. I'll give it a 50.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, then just to change it up, I'm going to give it a 60 because I have a lot of great memories of getting angry at it. Like, I do have memories of this game. And that intro, dude, when I watched that intro on YouTube, like, I got, oh, man. And then, oh, fuck. Sorry, we're going to end this, you guys, I promise. But every time somebody would score, they would just show the goalie, like, swatting the puck out of the net like he's angry. And then every time a team won, they would just slide along. Like, it looked like they were just sitting on the bench sliding with their hands in the air. And then when you won the Stanley Cup, it was the exact same celebration, but with the cup in your hands. And it looked so stupid. And you never saw more than one player at a time. Like, it was never a team shot or all the players or anything. And they never showed the players celebrating the goals or any. Ah, fuck.
No.
What?
In NHL 94, they skated around with the cup.
What a piece of crap. Oh, well. I'm glad we covered it. It never has to be mentioned on the show again. Brad, thanks for doing this, buddy. That was fun.
Hey, man. Thank you. And you know what? Thanks for supplying people with stuff to listen to during this weird time. As always, you're doing a great job, pal.
Thanks, buddy. We'll cover a good game next time.
Oh, sure.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Brad, thank you so much for giving me a call and talking NHL Stanley Cup with me and making fun of me for being poor and we should go outside and play and do all that fun stuff. And to every single one of you, thank you so much for supporting the show. Next week, it is the big 100. I very rarely reveal the game in advance, but as I've mentioned a few times, we are going to be talking Halo 2 for episode 100. I'm really excited to get into it. We're also giving away a Switch Lite in time for episode 100, so you've got a few days left. June 8th is the deadline. Either sign up over at patreon.com/rememberthegame for $2 and get a whole bunch of stuff and an entry into the draw, or shoot me an email at rememberthegame@gmail.com. It is in the description box below with the answer to the trivia question: what is my favorite game of all time? Hint, it is the only game to get a perfect 10 here on Remember the Game. And if you need another hint, I'm going to be playing a sound cue from it in about 5 seconds. Thanks for listening, you guys. I really appreciate it. I'll be back on Sunday with episode 10 of Expansion Pass, and I'll be back on Wednesday with episode 100 of Remember the Game. Stay safe, wash your hands, clean your controllers, look out for giant bees, be nice to each other, and I'll talk to you again in a few days. Cheers.